a list. I think Eric had sent me a while back. And these are some prayers that kids pray, and I thought these are really cute. Just kind of lighten the mood up a little bit today. I thought I'd read you some of them. And it says, and this is Sam, and Sam is thinking ahead. He's using his head. He says, "Dear God, I want to be just like my daddy when I grow up, but not with so much hair all over." I mean, when you get older, hair comes out your ears and your nose. It's just really gross, you know. And Norma, she's not afraid to ask a tough question. She'll probably be a politician or maybe a news reporter or something someday. Norma says, "Dear God, did you mean for a giraffe to look like that, or was that just an accident?" You know, that's kind of weird looking there, she thought. And Mark, he's not afraid to remind God. You know, thank God for people that remind God every while. Once in a while, he says, "Dear God, I keep waiting for spring, but it never come yet. Don't forget." God's little helpers, aren't you? Don't you know he's just glad for his little helpers? And Jane, she wants to help God out and save a little energy and time. She knows he's busy, and so she says, "Dear God, instead of letting people die and having to make new ones, why don't you just keep the ones you got now?" Sounds like a deal to me. How about you? Yeah. And here's Dean, and Dean, he's going to save God some stress. You know, we're talking about that today, and says, "Dear God, you don't have to worry about me. I always look both ways," and he just left it hanging right there. I guess he meant crossing the street, I guess, but, you know. And then we have Neil. And Neil's not sure, but Neil thinks somebody's in trouble. He says, "Dear God, I went to this wedding, and they kissed right in church. Is that okay?" He thinks somebody could be grounded when God finds out about this. Ruth M. This is Ruth M., and I think she's going to make a good clerical person. Says, "Dear God, I think the stapler is one of your greatest inventions." She probably heard somebody say, "Thank God for staplers," you know. And Elliot, he wants to show God how much he loves him. Probably some of the kids here like Elliot. "Dear God, I think about you sometimes when I'm not even praying." just let you know, not when I'm praying. I think about you sometimes. It's kind of like Jake when he was going to church with us one morning. A little bitty thing in the back of our car, my oldest son, and he invited a friend to go, and he said, "Oh, we got a good preacher. Sometimes I even listen to him." That's reminding me of little Elliot there. And Robert would make a good politician. He's really to the point. He says, "Dear God, I'm American. What are you?" And Nan, she's just very honest and transparent. She says, Nan says, "Dear God, I bet it's very hard for you to love all people, everybody in the whole world. There are only 4 people in my family, and I can never do it." That's honesty, isn't it? It's just 4 of them, and I have a lot of trouble. And Joyce, she don't want to seem ungrateful, but she says, "Dear God, thank you for the baby brother, but what I prayed for was a puppy." Might have got her prayers mixed up. And Jenny has the gift of hospitality. Says, "Dear God, please put another holiday between Christmas and Easter. There's nothing good there now." All the party. Everybody likes a party. I'm with Jenny. Just put us another holiday in there. And then Mickey D, he's God's good friend. And maybe some of you kids want to do this today. Just pray this. Says, "Dear God, if you'll watch in church Sunday, I'll show you my new shoes." And Denise, she says, "You know, you have not because you ask not." And she says, "Dear God, if we come back as something, please don't let me come back as Jennifer Horton because I hate her." A little bit too honest there, wasn't it? And then we have Donna. Donna's very sincere child. She says, "Dear God," and she thinks, by the way, she's probably uncovered some kind of scandal. She thinks she's on to something. She says, "Dear God, we read that Thomas Edison made light, but in Sunday school, Miss Jenna said that you did it. I bet they stole that idea from you." Sincerely, Donna. Sincerely, Donna. And Jonathan, he wants to console God in the tough issues. Jonathan says, "Dear God, if you let the dinosaur not extinct, we would not have a country." That's the way he wrote it. He said, "You did the right thing." just let you know, I'm with you. How many's with him? I'm glad he got rid of dinosaurs. And Pete believes in the power of prayer. He says, "Dear God, please send Dennis Clark to a different camp this year." Movers and shakers here. Larry, he's going to help God with family matters. Larry says, "Dear God, maybe Cain and Abel would not kill each other so much if they had their own rooms. It works with me and my brother." Kind of makes you feel like there might be a killing in the house if they didn't have their own room, didn't it? And then finally, Charles, he's going to give God an attaboy. And I think that's okay, don't you? Charles is he's an encourager. He says, "Dear God, I don't think anybody could be a better God." And then he says, "Well, and I just want you to know, but I'm not just saying that because you are God." You know? "I just really don't think anybody could be a better God than you." We're going to talk about the cross of Jesus Christ. And I want you to watch this, because it gives just a little bit of glimpse of some of the suffering that was going on right before the cross. when God's will was right in the midst of a perfect storm. God had set this up from the beginning. He said, Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, slain from the foundation of the world. And so it's no accident that everything that's taking place is taking place. Even to the denial, Jesus said, you will deny me. And he knew that they would. But nevertheless, it was chaotic and it was a mess. Stress and strain was in the middle of it all. And there in the center of it was God's perfect will. If you have your Bible, I want you to turn with me to Mark's Gospel, the 14th chapter. Mark, the 14th chapter. We'll begin reading with verse 27. And I want to give you three simple keys today that I believe worked in Jesus' day. It worked when they were going to the cross, that saw them through their mess. And these are three simple keys, and I'd like for you to write them down if you would, because they're really simple, but they're harder to live than they are sometimes to just say and know. In verse 27 in John's Gospel, the 14th chapter, it says, Then Jesus said to them, All of you will be made to stumble because of me this night, for it is written. And he says, This is the Bible, this is in the Word of God. I will strike the shepherd and the sheep will be scattered. But after I have been raised, I will go before you into Galilee. And Peter says, Even if all are made to stumble, yet I will not be. Everyone else may leave you, Lord, but I won't. Jesus said to him, Assuredly I say unto you, today, even this night, before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times. But he spoke more vehemently, If I have to die with you, Peter says, I will not deny you. And they all said likewise. You ever been there? Everyone else may deny you, Lord, but I won't. Everyone else may leave you, and everyone else may go along with this, but I won't. I'll be. You can depend on me, Lord. Verse 32, Then they came to a place which was named Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, Sit here while I pray. And he took Peter and James and John with him and began to be troubled and deeply distressed. That's Jesus Christ. He was troubled and deeply distressed. And then he said to them, My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to the death. Stay here and watch. And so it gives a picture. You know, the disciples didn't want Jesus to go to the cross. They wanted him to stay with them and set up his kingdom here on earth. Jesus didn't want to go to the cross because he knew it would be so difficult and so painful. And so he's in the garden and he's praying. He's stressed. And he's praying, God, if this cup can pass, let it pass. If there's another way. If there's another way. Let's do it that way. So he's not thrilled about going to the cross if there's another way. 35, he went a little farther and he fell to the ground and prayed. If it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. All things are possible for you. Take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what you will. Isn't that our struggle sometimes, that we know when we're going through things that all things are possible, and we know in our hearts, in our minds, that God could fix it, but He doesn't. He doesn't fix it. And sometimes He looks at you and said, I won't fix it, but I'll give you power to go through it. I'll never leave you nor forsake you, but sometimes we can't get past the part where God doesn't fix it. Because we know, just like Jesus knew, that all things are possible with God. I've lost good friends. You probably have too. One of mine I lost last year, a very good, dear buddy of mine. We used to hunt and fish and preach and sing and everything together. And I lost him to cancer, and I just wasn't really happy about it because I know what God could do and how He could heal. And sometimes it's hard to get past the tough issues. God, with you, all things are possible. Deliver me from this mess. Deliver my friend from this mess. And sometimes He don't. Verse 37, he came and found them sleeping and said to them, Simon, are you sleeping? Here's three disciples that he had poured his life into for over 3 years. And he asked them one thing in his greatest hour of need. He said, I'd like you to stay awake and pray with me for an hour. Can you do that, guys? Just think about if you were Jesus and you had poured your heart and life into these individuals for 3 years, and they know, you've already told them that you're going to the cross, you're going to die, and so they know, they haven't comprehended it, but they know because he's verbally told them what's going to happen, and they look at him in his greatest hour, and as somebody, you put yourself in his place that you poured your life into, provided for them for 3 years, you taught and trained them for 3 years, prayed over them, and they can't stay awake and watch with you for 1 hour. It's a stressful situation. It's hard. And I believe the oppression of the enemy is on the disciples in such a great measure that they can't even pray. And they're sleepy. They're wore out. They're feeling the burden and the pressure of the whole thing, the cross. Verse 38, he said, watch and pray, Jesus said to his disciples, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. There's a will to want to inside of us, but he said, you know what, your flesh is weak, and if you yield to the flesh, you're going to do things that you don't want to do. Remember I told you a few weeks ago, a guy gave a testimony, he said he didn't have to go to class to learn how to sin. Didn't take one class on sinning. He said, I just know how to sin. I'm a good sinner. He said, I used to be a good sinner. Never took one class. It's because it's in our sin nature to sin. And our spirit wants to do right. And our spirit wants to serve God. But in our flesh, it's weak. Verse 39, again he went away and prayed and spoke the same words. And it says, and when he returned, he found them asleep again. Again. They knew how stressed he was. They knew how badly Jesus needed them. And they were asleep again. These are your best friends, and they're asleep again when you know you're going through your most difficult time ever in your life, and they're asleep again. It says, for their eyes were heavy, and they did not know what to answer him. They were embarrassed. They didn't even know what to say. And if that's not bad enough, he knew that Peter was going to deny him. He said that Jesus told him he would. But then to look across the courtyard and deny even knowing your friend. Or if it was you, if your friend looks across the courtyard and said, I don't even know that individual. And you had poured your life into him for 3 years. And so they press Peter a little farther, and Peter starts cursing and swearing that he doesn't know Jesus. How difficult would that be? And Jesus told us, and here's your first key, if you want to go through a mess, it's prayer. It's talking to God. You say, well, that's simple. Well, it's simple, but we just, you know, when we're stressed, how many of us, that's our first key is we want to pray. A lot of times when we're stressed out, you know what we want to do? We want to rehearse the problem. Because do you realize how serious this is? Pray. I already prayed. No, you don't already pray. If you're in the midst of mess, you pray until you pray through. Everybody say, pray through. See, that's the key. We want to pray for a little while, but Jesus taught us in this episode. He says, you know what? You don't just pray. You pray till you pray through. Jesus said, here's the key, guys. If you don't stay awake and you don't watch and don't pray, it's going to get very intense and you're going to fall to temptation. And guess what? They all fell asleep and they all fell to temptation. I'm telling you, church, prayer is still a powerful tool for God's kids. It's still one of the most powerful tools we have. Teach your children how to pray. Teach them to call on God. I never forget when we were at a revival one time, we had this evangelist come in, and Summer was a little bitty thing. She's just a little bitty thing, toddling around the church, 3 or 4 years old, and this crowd gathered around, and I thought, this is after church, and I thought, well, what's going on over there? And I kind of made my way as associate pastor, look up through here, and there's little Summer standing in the midst of a bunch of adults. She wasn't feeling well that evening, and so she made all the people around her gather around, and she says, I need prayer. And there she was, you know, with the church adults and prayer warriors gathered around her. And I thought, praise the Lord, she knows the power of prayer. I'll never forget one time when I had just quit smoking, and boy, I was feeling good about it, and Jana hadn't quit smoking yet. We're new Christians, and we wanted to quit. You know, we just thought it was a habit we wanted to give up, and so we decided we'd just start praying about it. And so, anyway, we at our little church, we took prayer requests once in a while, and Summer was standing up in the seat beside us one day, and they're taking prayer requests, and she raised her little hand, and Jana, I'll never forget, Jana says, "What are you going to pray for?" She said, "I'm going to pray that you'll quit smoking." She said, "Get your hand down. Get that hand down." Boy, they'll pray, won't they? You know, have to be careful. What you praying about? What you praying about? She's a participator. That's right. She believes in the power of prayer, you know. I'm telling you, prayer is a powerful tool. Or Jesus wouldn't have been begging them to stay awake and pray. Jesus says, you know what? Watch what happens as a result of prayer. And he goes through the mess. While they're driving stakes in his hand, he's saying, "Father, forgive them." He's looking out at his mom and saying to John, "Behold thy son, and behold thy mother." He's taking care of business and he's loving on us because prayer will help us to get through. Prayer will help us to get through. The second thing he taught us in here, the second key is prayer. And then prayer, when we pray through, we need to trust God. And so trust is the second key. Look in verse 41. "Then he came," Jesus came the third time and said to them, "Are you still sleeping?" Three times he's found his friends asleep. But he makes an interesting statement in verse 41. He said, "It is enough." You know what he's saying it's enough about? He's saying it's enough about, I've heard from God, and God said he will not deliver me from this trial, but he will help me go through this trial. And so you pray until you get peace from God. Maybe not that he's going to deliver you from it, but you just know in your heart that you prayed until you've got a peace about it, and you say, God is going to help me through this trial, and you get a peace of God that passes understanding, and you do just like Jesus does, and you did, and you get up and you walk to the cross and you take what God has for you through trusting him. We went yesterday with our grandsons and watched Ice Age 2. The Meltdown. That's right, The Meltdown. It was funny, wasn't it? Okay, let Papa preach, okay? I'm up here preaching. And there was this little squirrel in there. And it was the funniest part of the movie. And this little squirrel's after one acorn. And he is vehemently, I mean, he is putting everything he's got into it. And he's quicker than lightning, just pew, 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 everywhere, all over, you know. And he has such a struggle trying to get this acorn, you know, just one little acorn. And finally, the ice melts at the end of the show, and this little thing falls off a cliff, and he falls into the river, and he wakes up, and he's in acorn heaven. There he is. Acorn heaven. Acorns everywhere. And all of a sudden he looks up and there's this acorn of all acorns sitting there. And you can hear just like, ah. I mean, it's like you've made it to heaven, buddy. And the kids picked up on it before I did that. Oh, he's died and gone to heaven, you know. And like, he's in heaven. I thought, well, he is in heaven, isn't he, you know. And there he stood and he's finally made it, you know. He's finally made it. And just about the time he gets to this acorn, he's just this close, and he's going to put his hands on it, and he's just salivating, and he's like, and he starts backing up. And one of the characters in the movie has resuscitated this little, is it a squirrel? What is that little thing? Something, little, no, it's not a possum, but it's some kind of little, looks like a little squirrel. Anyway, it's kind of weird looking. But whatever he is, he's going away from it, and he's being pulled away just as fast as they, you know, and his force is pulling him. And he comes to, and one of the other characters is giving him mouth to mouth and has resuscitated him. You know, he says, "Oh, I've brought him back to life." And he's like, "No!" And he starts kicking the rear of this little squirrel all over. You know, that's kind of the end of the movie. And that's the way we are sometimes. You know, we're after that thing, you know, just so close. And God says, no. No. It's not time for you. It's not good for you. I teach a Bible study on Sunday nights at a home cell, and Dave was talking one night. We're talking about how it's hard to love God unconditionally, because when we go through these times of mess and things, and we don't see prayer answered the way we think it should be answered, and all of a sudden we have a really hard time. Anybody honest enough to admit that but me? Sure, yeah, a few of us. Yeah, when you just think, you know what God can do, and He just don't answer it the way, and you have a really difficult time. And I love what Dave said. He said, you know, I figure if it just doesn't turn out that way, I just figure God has a different plan. I thought, well, that's too simple. That's too simple. You know, that's a great philosophy, and it just God had different plans. This must be His will. And so Jesus, and I think it's okay. Some teach us it's not okay to pray, "Thy will be done." Jesus prayed it. If Jesus prays it, I'm going to pray it. You don't have to if you don't want to, but Jesus did, and I am, and so you can if you want. I don't think it's not faith. I think it's you don't know. You don't have the answer yet. And all you're saying to God is, hey, I could be wrong in this situation, so let's do Your will. Everybody with me? That's called trust. That's where you just trust God that He's... Everybody say this, He's God. I'm not. That's a good phrase to remember. When you're wanting to have all your prayers answered the way you want them, just remember, He's God, I'm not. He's God, I'm not. And then we can trust Him. We can say without any doubt, I don't like it, I don't understand it, I don't even want this cup, but I do know one thing, I'm praying, and God, if it can't pass, then give me grace to go through. How many knows you can trust God? Some of you really don't believe that yet, and sometimes it's hard for me to believe it when I'm going through things, but you can trust God if here's the key, if you'll die. He said you've got to kill the flesh, come to the cross, and if you want to find life, you die to self and all your wants and whims and things, and you pick up the cross, and you take this Bible, and you begin to just conform yourself to it every time you read something, and transform yourself to it through the power of the Holy Spirit, and trust God. I heard a story the other day about a young man. He had fell in love with this beautiful young lady. And he was just lovesick. And he couldn't eat. And he couldn't hardly sleep. And finally his mother says, "Son, why don't you just tell her? You'd be no worse off since she don't even know you love her." And so, just tell her. Just, you know. So finally he gives up the courage and he tells this beautiful young lady, he said, "I just want you to know, I love you." And he said, "I would do anything to win your love and if you would love me back." And she looked at him and she said, "There is one thing that you could do to prove to me that you love me more than anything on earth, and that is bring me your mother's heart." Literally, her heart. Not win his mother. And so he's thought about it. He's all confused, but he thought, you know, I love her so much, and my mother's the one that told me I should pursue this. And finally, in a crazed, raving state, he went and killed his mother and pulled her heart out. And he's taking this bloody heart of his mother, and he's running down the hill, and he fell, and he gouged himself in the side with a sharp rock, and he doesn't even know he's injured because he's so confused and can't believe what he's done, and her heart begins to roll down the hill. And so he jumps up injured and still not realizing it, and the story says he runs down the hill, and he gets his mother's heart and holds it up, and the story says this, that from the heart the mother spoke and said, "Son, are you okay? Are you okay?" And I thought, you know, that's the kind of heart Jesus has for me and you. We step on His heart. We break His heart. We deny Him at times when we know we ought to do one thing and we'll do another. Some of you teenagers, you'll deny God in righteousness because you want to be cool, you want to fit in, and we step on His heart. And some of us older adults just do things that we know breaks the heart of God. And we dirty His heart, step on it. And from the cross, He's still looking at us and saying, "Son, daughter, are you all right? Are you all right?" They spat in His face and platted thorns on his head, and he looked out at us and said, "Are you all right? Are you all right?" How many knows you can trust the heart of God? He has your best. I'm telling you, we have a vision and a plan, but it's nothing compared to what God has for you. It's amazing when we die to self and pray and seek God's face and then just trust our lives into His hands. It's amazing that the abundant life we can have. It's amazing. And so trust is the second key. And then the last key is this. It's doing God's will. And I'm afraid that you'll miss how powerful that really is. But in verse 42, Jesus says, "Rise and let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand." He says, "Arise and let us be going." He not only prayed, but he got an answer. And the answer was no, son, this cup can't pass. So he not only prayed, but he got an answer. And so through that answer, he trusted God that God will help me go through. Let me tell you something, church. God will help you go through if He says no to your request. Trust Him. But here's the third thing you do. And when you prayed and you're trusting God, the second thing is get up and go. He went up and he got up and he headed toward the cross. Because that's where God had sent him. How many knows when God sends you to the cross, you just get up and you head toward the cross. Because that's where God's sending you. It's something that maybe you really don't want to do. It's something that's really difficult for you. Maybe it's forgiving someone. Well, I can't do that. And God says, you can if you'd pray and trust me. And then you pray and you trust God and you get up and you go over and say, you know what, I apologize, or I'm really sorry, or you hurt my feelings, or, you know, we've had bad blood for all these years and I really want to make it right because I'm a Christian now and I want to look like Jesus Christ more than anything else. I want it more than my pride. I want it more than my mess. I want it more than anything else. I want to let everything about me, this flesh, die. I want to find the resurrected life of Jesus Christ and I want to live it. And I want to live in peace and harmony with God and His will and happiness and joy and peace in the Holy Spirit. And you can have it. But you got to get up and go. He told His disciples when He came back from the resurrection, you know what He told them? He got up and they were, Peter says this, you know, they were all confused and dazed and amazed and didn't know what to do. And after they nailed Jesus to the cross, Peter is a commercial fisherman. So you know what he said, I'm going to do? I don't know anything else to do. Our Lord and Savior's gone. They said, what you going to do, Pete? Pete said, I'm going fishing. You know why? Because that's all he knew to do. Some of you maybe have walked off a ministry or church or whatever because you said, you know, I'm just gonna go work at Tinker. I'm just gonna go build cars. I'm just gonna go do construction. I'm gonna go fix cars. I'm gonna do whatever it may be. And you've just walked off from Jesus and said, I don't know. I tried it and it didn't work, so I'm just walking off and I'm just gonna go fishing. Whatever your fishing is, you're just gonna go do that. Sometimes Christians can be cruel. We really can. We don't aim to, but we really can be cruel sometimes. God's began to do something to my heart to help me not to be so cruel. You know what He's teaching me? Because I've never been that right anyway, but He's teaching me, you know, you don't even have to think you're right. Most of us aren't right anyway. We just think we're right, you know. And He said, you don't even have to think you're right. He said, because it's not really a big issue whether you're right or wrong. What really matters is if you show love to one another, and that way the world will know that you belong to me. They'll know your heart because you're showing love one to another. They'll just know. I was driving along Michael and I were the other day and we had this trailer on behind us and sand blowing and a guy on a motorcycle drove by and he stuck his hand up and put a finger up it, but I won't show you which one. I didn't even see him, but Michael said, that guy just flipped us off. I said, well, praise the Lord. I'm sure sorry about that. Just kept driving. Bless him, Lord. You know. I mean, What good does it do to get upset and say, because I'm on a mission now. I'm just on a mission just to go and do what Jesus wants me to do. I've had enough of the junk, mess, and me, and all the stuff, and my little attitude, my feelings, and all that stuff. I just want to do what Jesus has asked me to do. In fact, when He came back and He found His disciples out there and they were fishing, you know what He told them? He said, go ye. can't just stay around praying and thinking about it and even trust. If you really trust God, you'll get up and you'll go and share what you got. He said, go ye. Everybody say, go ye. Let me tell you what go ye in the Greek means. Get her done! Oh, that's the Oklahoma translation. That's not... I like the Oklahoma translation better than the Greek, don't you? Everybody say that. We're going to work for Jesus? We're going to work for Jesus? We're going to go ye? We're going to get her done? I mean, no, you are the country church today. Yeah, you are the country church today. I mean, just get up and do whatever God's asked you to do. It's not that hard. He asked me to be a preacher. Now, my first thought was, you got to be kidding. And then he asked me to do it in Oklahoma City. Oklahoma City. God, what are they going to think when I say, how y'all doing? He's going to think. God says he's going to think. I use the dumb to confound the wise. Get up and confound them. All right. Huh? You got to die to self. You got to quit worrying about what you're not and start speaking what you are in Christ and get up and just get her done for Jesus Christ. He'll give you the power to do it. Just pray until you get an answer. And then whatever your answer is, yes or no, say, I can do it. I can do all things through Christ. And if the answer is no, I'll just go through. I won't worry about not what I don't have. What I will, I say, I can do all things in Christ, and I'm going to go through this battle. I'll look out and see people, Jerry, and different ones of you that have gone through all kinds of battles just to be here. I don't know how many surgeries Miss Jerry's had, but you know what? She's like the Energizer Bunny. She just praises and worships God and gets her another surgery. And yeah. Doc and Lucille, Miss Allison, all you guys, you're going through a lot of stuff, man. You just keep on coming every Sunday, you know? How many knows, the older you get, the more hurts you're usually going to have. I'm 50 and I got some new hurts, okay, but I'm happy. I'm happy, you know, because I know this is, Jen and I were talking about skin. You know, once you get older, your skin just looks a little different. You notice that? I miss my little youth skin. How many missed your little youth skin, you know? And then the fat you got, it don't look cute anymore like it did when you were a baby. And then if you lose a little weight like I do, you just get more wrinkles. It's like a no-win situation. Like I think I'll be fat half a year and no wrinkles, and then get me some wrinkles and be skinny. You know, it's like, golly, what do? I tell you what you do. You just be you. God created you, and you're uniquely made, fearfully and wonderfully made in the image of God. And you just pray and say, God, this is me. This is what I have. But and I don't know. I'm not as smart as somebody, and I'm not as intelligent, and I'm not this. But just tell God. But don't tell anybody else, because they don't know. All they know is you love God, and you said, well, I have something that I can do for Jesus Christ. And because God has looked at every one of you and said, go ye, you. You go, you go, you go, you go, you. Share what you have. You go, you go, you. Every one of you, you go and share what you have. Share what you've got. Get you a little bit of word and go share what you know. You don't have to know a lot to help people. But just get you a little bit every day and just be transformed by the power of God. And then don't forget the go ye part. Now there's a time to pray and there's a time to trust God, but then there's a time to get up and head toward battle to go ye. Listen, Jesus is here. We've been praying for three things for the last several weeks. One is that lost people would come home. People that don't know Jesus Christ would come today and make this the best Easter they've ever had through the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. We've been praying for you if you're here and you've never made a public confession. Never invited Jesus Christ in your heart to be your Lord and Savior. We've been praying for you. And we expected you to come today. Second thing we prayed for is people that have once been faithful to come to church and now they've just gone out and they're doing their own thing and they've got away. Listen, Jesus is coming back after the church. Jesus is in love with the church. With all her faults and flaws and hypocrites that are inside the church. How many knows there were hypocrites in the church when Jesus was alive? And they'll be here when Jesus comes, but they're not going and we are. So don't let a hypocrite run you out of your seat. Just tell them, scoot over. Listen, if you don't have more than a hypocrite, you don't got much. No hypocrite's going to run me out of church. And they're everywhere. I think God puts them in here. He plants them just to see what we got. You know? I might get mad once in a while when they serve me a meal, you know, that's just gross. You know, it's like, golly, I'm going to pay for this, but I don't quit eating, do you? I'm just not going to eat anymore. That's just ridiculous. Huh? No, you just keep coming, keep eating, keep going to the well, getting you some more of this stuff, and coming like Jesus Christ, and being faithful to the house of God. Listen, parents, let me tell you something. You only have one shot to raise your kids up, and you better raise them up in the house of God if you want them to. Because I sent mine off. Now my son is halfway around the world with him and his family, his three kids, and I do some long distance teaching and training still, but it's very little. And what he does is, and what he's got is because Jesus Christ is in his heart, and I know that he knows what the Bible says. Like sometimes people are amazed. I said, "Well, Jake, how do you know all that?" He said, "Man, I was raised in church. My dad's pastor." So put it inside of them. Teach them it's important to pray. And when they pray, teach them it's important to trust God. And teach them that God has put something that's special and unique inside of them that He will develop because He wants to use them for the kingdom. Every person in here has got a gift. If I ever wrote a book, that's what I'd want to write about. You and your gift. That's what I'd want to entitle it. Because every person in here, God has put a gift particularly in you. It's specific to you and your nature, and He wants to use you. Some of you have two or three, but everybody has a gift that God wants to use. And every one of us will be accountable when we stand before God, whether we use that gift or we sat on it. I'm going to use mine for whatever it's worth here. And the good thing is, you don't have to be all that smart. You don't have to be a real intelligent person to get a good grade with Jesus Christ. Because He made you and He loves you. He just says, use what you got. Use what you got. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for the power of prayer. Jesus was a witness to us that prayer is the key. He prayed and He prayed and He prayed in earnest and agony and with all that He had, with His complete being. And He prayed until He got an answer and said, "It is enough." Then, Lord, He went to the cross trusting You. He realized that this is from God, and He didn't curse His accusers. He didn't curse His own disciples that denied Him and cursed at Him and lied. But He loved them because He knew that this was Your will. He knew that He had found the Father's favor, although He'd be going through a trial that You had set before Him. Teach us to do that. Teach us to pray and get the answer. Teach us to trust You in trials. Help us to reflect on the words that Jesus taught His disciples and the actions that He performed this day as He got up and said, "It is enough." Teach us to pray until we pray through, until we get an answer, and then trust You. And God, after the praying's done and the trusting has been set in place, help us to do as You did and get up and go forth and share and go up, get up and do what we can do and not quit. Don't sit down. Our tendency, Lord, is always to sit down when we're hurting and we're in the midst of a mess, or to give up or to throw our hands up because something wasn't right. Those are tests and trials, Lord, that teach us that You will put in front of us, and we'll either fail or we'll get up and go forward and succeed through the power of the Holy Spirit. God, I pray today that You'll restore to Your church people that have been hurt, people that are on the fringes, that used to be faithful servant of Jesus Christ, and now they look from the outside into the church. I pray that You would bring lost people. People that are here today, not by just accident. They're here by appointment because You knew they would be here. You knew what would be preached. And so, but they've never made that commitment to confess You as Lord and Savior. Today, Lord, is their day. Today You stand with Your arms extended to them saying, "Come. Come and let Me take the death penalty off you. Come and let Me set you free by the forgiving power that I paid for at the cross." Today You stand, Lord, inviting them to come and to be a part of Your family. I pray that You'll give them the courage to get up and come. To say yes to Jesus and no to sin. To say yes to eternal life and no to hell in eternity. To say yes. Holy Spirit, give them the gift of faith today to believe and to receive. This is their hour. This is their time. This is their day. They'll never be the same as they say yes. And then, Lord, finally, we thank you for those that are being baptized today. We've been praying, and there's several in our congregation that's never been baptized. They've felt the quickening power of Jesus calling them to be baptized and fulfill your command to be baptized. We thank you for them. We thank you for hearing our prayer. Now our heads are bowed and Christians are praying. We want to invite you to come.